right, with that, I'll call the meeting to order. Everybody could please stand and join me in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lynn, if you would please do the roll call.
Trustee Coleman.
Here.
Trustee Dye.
Here.
Trustee Howard.
Here.
Trustee Quiatek is absent. Trustee Lloyd.
Here.
Trustee Lubai is absent. Trustee Lupoli.
Here.
Great, thank you. And any requests for public participation?
No requests.
Great, thank you. Does anybody have anything on the consent agenda they would like to pull for discussion?
I just have one thing that I want to recuse myself from voting on in the consent agenda, and that is the agreement with FBH Community. FBH Community rents some space from the college, and so I would like to recuse myself from that vote, please.
Perfect. So if I could get a motion just for that one first.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
And then for the other items on the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, passes. All right, information only. You've got some agreements in your packet and then some surplus donations. I do want to mention just in full transparency because it won't be ready until the next meeting, but it'll start before that. The college is going to rent the conference house to Dr. Labasso, and the rental rate is being set according to IRS standards for University or college-provided housing. So just wanted the board members to know that, and it'll be on the info item next time. And with that, Dr. Labasso, over to you.
Great, thank you. Well, it's that time of the year, budget time, so we have a nice packet for you to review. But since our last meeting, we held a really good workforce summit at the ATC where we brought in a real diverse group of companies, met with in conjunction with folks from CareerSource, Chamber was there, and other organizations there. So it's something we had done for years, and then CareerSource created an Alliance 4 function that we partnered with them for years with, and that took over for a number of years. Then when CareerSource dissolved and reformed itself, that went away, so we've brought that back. So it was a great conference where we were able to workshop that, bring these companies in, talk about what their needs are, make sure that we are still providing the training that they're looking for in a variety of different disciplines, which was really interesting. We highlighted our FAME program. FAME, Robbie, is the Federation for Advanced Manufacturer Educators. It's modeled after Toyota. And we have, I think it's ranked 14 companies right now, where they select these students. They sponsor them, they pay their tuition, and they're doing it's like an old co-op. And what we did is we changed our curriculum so that they come to campus 2 days a week, and they're getting an AS degree, and the 3 days a week they're spending in the company, germ-free, Doherty Manufacturing. There's a whole bunch of these companies, and it's just been really successful. So they were there, and it was a great program. Pleasure being at the United Way celebration for the Bowler family. It was really nice to be there. Had a meeting the other day with Team Volusia and with the Japan Trade Organization. This was like a preliminary meet and greet with Volusia County. They're scheduling a follow-up meeting in August. They'll be bringing some more potential companies into town to look at some different opportunities there. Just finished a three-hour session with our new trustee, and welcome Robbie Coleman to the group. And he stayed.
Yeah.
And between going through this packet and his three-hour orientation, I think he's got enough information to keep him busy for the next. Good thing is we don't have a meeting in July, so you'll be able to process all
yeah.
this, yeah.
I should be able to have it processed by then.
That's right, yeah. And then I do have an item for approval. The staff has done an excellent job. You know, enrollment continues to increase and launching new programs. Budget's a little on the tight side this year, but we still were able to get a 2% proposal to you all.
Have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion on the item? I'll just say, great job. I know it was a tight budget year, but thankfully enrollments are going up, and you know, folks around the room and groundskeepers and custodians and you name it are all responsible for making it happen. So I'm happy to see you guys found a way to carve something out of the budget in a period where there are some colleges and institutions of higher education that are having to pause or look for ways to reduce programs. So positive sign, and I certainly support it. So any other questions, discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Great. Well, thank you again. We appreciate that. And this budget together was a total college team effort because we had to keep going back saying we need to cut a little more. We need to, you know, a vacancy would appear. We did some reorganizations, you know, held some positions so that we could do something for the entire community. So thank you for that. And then I have another item. It's the time of the year to review and approve our annual salary plan.
I'll motion to approve.
Second. Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion passes.
And that concludes my report.
Great. Excellent. Thank you. And yes, I got sidetracked at the beginning there because we were talking about something else, but I should have started off with the call to order. Robbie, welcome. We're delighted to have you. I've heard nothing but great things about you from people around the table here and from others in the community, and we're fortunate to have you join us. It's a great board. I think you'll enjoy your time here, and it's a great college, great place to be a part of. All right. Off to the award-winning finance presentation.
I don't know.
Country's best.
Don't see one.
Is there a remote right there?
I don't think so. Yeah, you're right. Lynn.
Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
It fell in my
hand. Well, that was recorded. That's recorded.
Is it really?
Yeah.
The meeting's
right
now.
Yeah.
We know who isn't award-winning. All right. Good afternoon. We got everyone's alluded to, a big agenda. A lot of it falls in my arena, so we're going to jump right in with the financial report here for the period ending May 31st, 2026. With 1 month to go in the fiscal year, you'll see where we are from a financial standpoint in funds one and seven. All right. Starting off, we got our Fund 1 operating revenue. This is our budget to actual report. You can see we've now collected $33.5 million, or 99% of our tuition and fees. Remember, dual enrollment tuition is now added into that number, both from a budget and actual standpoint. So we know we've surpassed our budget, our tuition and fee target on standard tuition and fees. The budget number is driving up the percentage a little bit. Throws it a little bit off. But long story short, we've hit our target. And once we receive our second payment from the school districts, it would then push that 99% up to 105 or so in total. We've collected $59.7 million, or 92% of our state revenues, collected $4.6 million, or 89% of our other revenue sources, and all $7.7 million, 100% of our board-approved transfers that are approved as part of the budget, which we'll do later for next year's budget as well. So in total, we've now collected $105.5 million, or 94% of our operational budget, which is at $111.7 million. Moving over to the expense side, we've now expended $70.1 million of our personnel budget. That's 85%. We've obligated another 21.3% or 21.3 million, 85% of our current expense budget. Of that, 18.9 million is true expenditures, and the remaining 2.4 million is still encumbered with open purchase orders. We've obligated 2.4 million or 62% of our capital outlay budget in Fund 1. And of that amount, 2.1 million is expended, another 364,000 is encumbered. So in total, we're total obligations as of the end of May, we got 93.8 million or 84% of the budget obligated. And if you were to peel away the encumbrances and look at true expenditures, we've now expended 91.1 million or 81.5% of our overall budget through the month of May, so 11 months. Okay, shifting over to our carry forward. Some of this I'll provide a little more detail for Robbie's benefit first time through. So this is our beginning fund balance where we started the year in our Fund 1 operating reserves account. So with 23.6 million roughly, 5% of that is a state required reserve. So 6.7 million is set aside. Another 1.6 million we have designated as board designated reserves within Fund 1. And then there's unallocated reserves is the remainder of 12.5 million. We also do a little bit of a year-end encumbrance and rollover designations for other required purposes. Those together were amounted to 2.7 million this past year. And so through May 31st, it kind of projects our fund balance to come in at 27.4 million or 21.26%. Okay, this slide depicts the budget versus actual year over year. So you can see, as we all know, our revenue stream comes in a very consistent manner. So through May, at the end of May, we collected 94% of our revenues, and last year at the same time it was 95%. So right on track. This slide shows our tuition and fee analysis, student tuition and fees over a three-year time span. Looking good here. We got collected 33.5 million. As I mentioned earlier, you know, dual enrollment tuition and fees is now embedded into 33.5 million, but it's not in the prior 2 years. So if you were to take the 33.5 less the 30.9 million, it gets you about a $2.6 million increase. Deduct from that. Dual enrollment brought in so far from the school districts and the scholarship program of about $855,000. The rest will be recorded in June. Brings it down to a net of about $1.8 million. So apple to apples, you would be at roughly 5.7%, a $1.8 million increase in standard tuition and fees without dual enrollment. In total with dual enrollment, it's up about 8.5%. Okay, similar chart to the revenue chart. This is our expenditures comparison of budget to actual year over year. You can see we've now expended 85% of our personnel budget. Last year it was 86% at the same juncture. We obligated 83% of our current expense budget this year. Last year we were at 84%. And we've obligated 62% through May this year, and we were at 63% last year. So even our spending habits are very consistent year over year in the major categories. All right, so that wraps up Fund 1. Shifting over to Fund 7, this slide kind of tells you every funding source within Fund 7. So from the left there, we got student capital improvement fees, board designated reserves. The one under that for deferred maintenance was prior to board designated reserves that are now had been allocated and set aside and designated. So it's sort of a sub account that we track. Next one down is our capital outlay debt service funds from the state. Under that is PICO, our public education and capital outlay funds, also from the state where we receive our major appropriations for new construction and remodels. And then below that was some old funding that the board had set aside also for the deferred maintenance, but out of a different source, capital improvement fees versus the Board of Trustee designated reserve account. So those are our major Fund 7 sources of funds. And then this just shows the activity through the fiscal year commitments and expenses, revenues, and then resulting fund balance through the month of May. The next slide shows it a little easier on the eyes. Starting the year, we're at $35.5 million roughly, received another $12.7 million, and we've now obligated $24.4 million in total. Of that amount, $19.3 million, almost $19.4 has truly been expended in Fund 7, with a remaining $5 million still encumbered with purchase orders, with contractors and architects and so forth. That brings you down to a fund balance through May 31st of $23.7 million. And of that balance, we like to track how much is committed to date through to dedicated projects, and that's the $9.3 million roughly. And then the uncommitted is the remainder, which is almost $14.5 million uncommitted and available for new projects. Okay, speaking of projects, here's our list of 14 major projects that are ongoing. What we classify as major for purposes of our board report or any project $250,000 or above. So you can see the laundry list of projects here. I won't go through them all. Some are close to wrapping up and should fall off in June. The couple that were added should be at the very bottom here is Building 500 Academic Support Center renovations is a new project slated to be completed by August. And then the Manatee Fountain project, which is out there in the lawn, which many of you have seen the Manatee. We just have to get going on the rest of the project. It's going to be a nice addition out there, and that's slated for January time frame. So not only is the active projects a lengthy list, but here's our completed major projects for the fiscal year. We've completed now 13 major projects at a cost of $17.3 million. Again, most of these were on your list last board meeting. However, there were, I believe, the two bottom ones there, cybersecurity facility and equipment, which was a SCIF project out at the ATC, had a little bit of remaining funds for some time, and we finally got that one wrapped up. And then our Building 320 Health Science Hall building envelope repair, and that's slated for a May 20, or that was finished in May, I'm sorry. So two more added to the list. Good to see. It's been a big year, a lot of projects, and many of them completed. Yeah, that concludes the May 31st report. If you have any questions or comments there, glad to take them.
All good, I think so.
Good. Okay. Moving on, I believe, is our informational item. Each board meeting, we bring this forward, and it shows us all payments, regardless of type of payment, over $50,000 individually. And for the month of May, that's the list of payments. Nothing unusual on the list, just ordinary business. All right, moving right along. This time of year, the board may recall from previous years, at this time we bring forward uncollectible accounts receivable. Those are that we've taken all necessary measures. They've gone through, phone calls, in-house procedures to try to collect on these debts, referred them to collection agencies, and once they receive that 3 years old, we then have to go and take the list to the board for consideration for write-off. So this list it stems from the 22-23 fiscal year. You can see in the memo here. It was on it's related to our student tuition and fees. That amount was just over $30 million for the year. So the $480,000 that we're asking to be written off is just 1.58% of that total tuition and fee amount. Before we had the federal stimulus funds that allowed us to pay off student debt, this aligns about with what our normal write-off would have been back in those years. Actually, slightly better. We had some. I looked back a few years and looked at some write-offs, and the amounts were upwards of $500,000-$600,000. 1 year was even upwards of $1 million. But So this is not uncommon. The amount, 1.58%, is relatively small. You can see we still try to collect on these debts, and so funds will trickle in over time as students have the registration. They'll have a freeze on the registration. If they were to come back to Daytona State and try to register, they wouldn't be able to until they made whole on their debt. So we still do try to collect, or we'll take payments.
Marty, can I ask you a question? So you said if they try to return to Daytona State, we'll collect or try to collect on that. Is it, would that go for every state college institution or just Daytona State? And the reason, if it doesn't, it should.
I'm not sure every.
If you try to apply to another school,
right,
they're going to get flagged to send our transcripts, and we won't send them. And then they'll pay. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll send them.
Yeah. But they may have different collections procedures, Randy, to that point. I'm not sure what each individual college is.
No, but I mean, we should be able to collect if they're applying to another school.
Yeah. Yeah, we would not, Tom said, we wouldn't release the transcript. And
they changed the statute on that. We can only hold the transcript of the semester.
Oh, yeah, that's the new rule.
Oh, stop.
And only if they don't.
It used to be
federal.
We used to hold the whole thing, and then they changed it. Yeah, so.
That kind of weakens it, doesn't it?
It weakens it a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Is there a federal aid part to that?
There's another tricky part of it, but bottom line, it's getting harder and harder.
It sounds like
the federal government is saying you can't
jeopardize
them getting a job.
Okay.
Yeah. Good point. I'd forgotten about that new rule. Yeah, we're not allowed to withhold transcripts any longer. So.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. Thank you. Next item is another one we try to bring each year as we're doing the closing of the current fiscal year and taking a look at our reserves in Fund 1 and if we have an opportunity to do transfers to some of the other funds, namely Fund 3, our auxiliary funds, and Fund 7, our capital project funds. It helps us to keep up with deferred maintenance when we're not getting renovation, remodel, or maintenance repair funds from the state of Florida through PICO on a general basis. So this mechanism helps us keep up with deferred maintenance from that standpoint. So although we don't know the specific amounts just yet, we wait until we get a little further along in the closing process to shore up and see what we have on hand. We do ask for the board to consider this for amounts up to $6 million from Fund 1 to Fund 7. And up to $2.5 million from Fund 1 to Fund 3. And I can bring back the actual amounts we end up, landing on next fiscal year at the next board meeting. But with this, we would need approval to do so.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
All right, last but certainly not least is the 2026-27 annual budget. And we're going to jump right in. Please, you can stop me as you feel free, or we can wait till the end if you have any questions or comments on the budget as a whole. As Dr. Labasso alluded to, it was a little bit of a challenge this year, but we got there and we feel pretty good getting a good balanced budget in both Fund 1 and Fund 7. So we'll take a look here. Some of these slides I'll kind of go through a little quicker. I know most of you have seen this in your one-on-ones. The budget planning and design principles, for instance, it's no different than years past. We ask for all participation from the outside departments. It's very, very equitable process in alignment with our college's strategic planning process. Very collaborative effort just all around, and this year especially, as Dr. Labasso alluded to, we needed all hands on deck. We needed to make budget reductions. Never easy conversation for us to have with the departments, but everyone, I think, understands the nature of the budget, the tough funding year, and we all came together and did a good job. So I'm pleased with the whole community here that really tightened up and assisted in the process. So it was very, very good process. This one is a description of the funds. Again, I won't go into every single fund. We know as a board we must have approved Fund 1, the operating fund, and Fund 7, the capital projects fund, per statute. It's also the two funds that we must submit to the state of Florida by the end of this month. So we'll concentrate on funds 1 and 7. I will say that we do submit all funds to the state of Florida with the detail of the revenue and expense account, you know, every account that we've budgeted. But fund 1 and 7 are the primary two, just like I reported on previously in my regular financial report. Okay. So our budget priorities, you know, the process, again, it's fairly similar to years past. I'm going to draw your attention down to the bottom, which talks about our spending plan, which is the use of our fund balance reserves, okay? So, you know, there are some years we've had a good amount of reserves. This year, we're rolling, we plan to have a rollover, but maybe not quite as robust because we have larger expenses like the health insurance plan, utilities going up, and just not the same level of revenues that to support all of those items. So long story short, the bottom piece here, we routinely set aside some money for Fund 7 for deferred maintenance, as I just mentioned earlier. We also do an equipment refresh plan. That's to the tune of $650,000, divvied out to all areas and ask for their capital requests. We prioritize. Everybody gets a piece of that. Each area gets a piece of that allocation. Doesn't cover everything on the list because the list is robust, but it keeps at least an annual refresh plan in place, and it's worked well for us. TV station support, operating support, we asked the board to transfer funds from Fund 1 to Fund 2, where the TV station is accounted for. Grant matching, there's a allocation. Well, I'll show you the exact amounts here later, but this goes from Fund 1 to Fund 2 into our grants grant fund. And then the bottom one is three pieces of prior state allocations that we received last year as part of special projects, came through Fund 1, and we just haven't spent down the full allocation yet. The largest one being the EMS equipment, and that's solely because we had a little bit of a delay on the DeLand Building 1 and 8 project itself, the remodel project that's going to house this equipment. So we didn't want to purchase the equipment and have no place to store it. So we have to designate that fund balance. It's going to roll into our fund balance this year into Fund 1 reserves, and we'll need to peel it back out next year and use it for those specific initiatives. Similar with auto service tech, we received about $570,000. $140,000 is remaining to spend down. And the last one was database security allocation. I think we received $500,000 there, got $130,000 remaining on that allocation. So by this time next year, I would expect those three allocations to be pretty much fully expended. All right, summary of key budget points. This one's worth going through, from the top. Our 16th year running now with no student tuition and fee increase in our standard tuition rate. Second one down there, tuition and fee revenue, we're anticipating a 2% enrollment increase for next year, and that's based on where we're expected to land this year off our actual tuition and fee. So that slide I showed you earlier at $34 million thereabouts, that's tacking on 2% to that already increased number for current year performance. So that's we think that's achievable. Third one is our student incentive funds. That's a two-prong item. $393,000 is in the state budget for the 2+2 student success funding, and then another $373,000 for Work Florida student success. Next one down is the nursing pipeline funding. Got a little bit of a little less than the prior year, but still almost $1.8 million in the budget for the nursing pipeline funding. Just below that is another special project, similar to the three that I just said we're still spending out on. This would come through that same mechanism in Fund 1, and that's for the specialized equipment for aerospace and advanced tech education. And similar to those projects, I'd probably be saying, you know, next year at this time, we very well may not have spent all of this because we may not have the capacity to house all the equipment. We may get started at the ATC and be able to put some of the items over there, but yeah, this equipment is big in nature and just may not have the space and whereabouts to store it all. The next one is just a pure kind of a guesstimate on our part. We know that we're going to get a refund on our former insurance where we paid in premiums to the consortium at the state of Florida. That'll come sometime next year. The council of presidents is still working with the committee there to ratify the allocation method and figure out what that final fund balance that they have on hand to distribute to all 28 of the colleges. We know we'll get a piece of that. And we're just guesstimating 1.8 million could be a little less. Hopefully, it's a little bit more. It's a non-recurring one-time that'll help next year's budget. Last item on the list is our airframe and power plant remaining funding. This was a good win in the budget. 12.33 million goes directly to PICO through Fund 7, so that'll round out the funding that we needed on that project. Okay, our next slide are our student. These are our student user fee updates, and different from the classroom lab fees that are tied to educational materials and supplies. This group of fees we review out of my office each year and take a look at all the costs that go into them. So they're strictly pass-through type fees. If the costs of rent of the Ocean Center, for instance, at the graduation goes up, that has to be accounted for, and that's all we do there is pass that on through a small increase. So the first one's our assessment fee. We're proposing 35, increase to 38. Domestic application fee. You'll recall we put that in a few years ago. Slight increase there from $15 to $18. Our international application fee has been at $50 for quite some time. We're bumping it up to, we're proposing to bump it up to $60. Graduation fee, $32 to $35 for degree programs and $22 to $25 for certificates, $3 each. And then this other web-enhanced lab fee, which is a hybrid type courses, it's at $25, and we're proposing to $27. So just incremental increases there based on cost of associated services and supplies. The bottom group are a few of the other fees we look at and review. We're proposing no change to the access fee, distance learning, or Falcon loan surcharge. Okay. Not a whole lot to speak to on the student lower division student fee rates. 102.38 we've been at for quite some time, and we're going to be there again next year for lower division. Just below that's career certificate and the diploma, 82.24. That's also consistent with last year and the previous many years. Moving over to upper division, our baccalaureate programs, again, standard tuition and fees is at a 120.32, same as last year. And previous years, out of state is the $623.29, no change from last year. Okay, this slide touches on the fees that I just talked about a little more, adds the range of lab fees, which Dr. Long gets into with her area in academics. So this just simply states the absolute smallest $2 to the largest $1,505 on this slide, just to capture it in one spot. Under that, I don't think transcript fees and testing fees are all other just straight pass-through fees, the cost of services, proctoring, so forth, we pass on to our students. No change to our tuition discounts as outlined below. This slide is, here's the one for our student enrollment projection. It's done based on credit out, you know, anticipated credit hours by discipline. So as you can see, if I direct you down to the bottom right-hand corner, with the 2% added in, we're at about 34.4 million. And then for the first time this year, I'm showing the dual enrollment tuition and fees as a subcategory down there, 2 million budget number for that. So all in, for all student tuition and fees next year, our budget will be 36.4 million for tuition and fees with dual enrollment included. And of course, yeah, I footnoted it. You can see below that was per our GASB 103, the new GASB requirement requiring us to categorize that as tuition and fees for dual enrollment. So Pretty soon that'll just be included and we won't have to talk about it, but I do want to highlight it until we become used to it. Okay, the next slide is our projected rollover in our Fund 1 operating account. It's just a projection. We took a snapshot at time. You can see the May 26th date as we were putting together the budget. We then project out from that point through June 30th, which isn't even here yet, but we do our best to take a look at where we think revenues will land, where we think expenses will land, and just our best estimate of rollover, and that's what you see in the bottom right, approximately $5.3 million. Keep in mind, that number, $1.3 million of that rollover is those state allocations I talked about the three projects that have equipment purchases that still need to be utilized. So that's not really usable for any other purpose. So that right off the bat, we're down to about $4 million. And then, as you know, we do a different, the other initiatives out of fund balance, like the transfer to Fund 2 for the TV station, grant matching. So that shrivels up pretty quickly once you factor in the other uses of fund balance that we do routinely each year. Okay, moving along. Comparison of our state appropriations. This is the current year we're in is here on the left. Next year, 26-27 is on the right. So last year or the current year, we're right at $64.9 million. Next year, just under $66 million. When you compare the two, it looks a little larger than what it might be. But when you take away the non-reoccurring special project, the $929,000 that we're set to receive for next year, it brings it down to really a net increase of only $130,000 of all these state funding sources. So not a whole lot of new funds to work with from that perspective. But luckily, we think tuition and fees will be up a little bit, and we'll be able to meet our obligations.
Marty, can you remind me the lottery funding? Is it a formula? Is it they predict lottery ticket sales? I mean,
it's based off, it is generated from lottery sales. Now, the split, they used to give it right to us right off the bat in the bill itself. Now, for the last several years, we've had to reach out. They actually lumped the two together, the general revenue and the lottery. And we have to email the state to ask them for the breakout of general revenue versus lottery. But the lottery component is off of lottery ticket sales. There's some portion dedicated to higher education, and it's divvied up among the institutions. Okay. Next slide is our, this gives you the overall budget, the full picture of our budget for next year. So we're looking at $109,541,778. On the left, you can see every which way, all funding sources. So the biggest piece, of course, being our state appropriations, the $51.7 million. Tuition and fees, we talked about with dual enrollment at $36.4 million. And then every other possible, the pipeline money, any transfers in is accounted for on the left. On the right are our three major expenditure categories, personnel, current expenses, and capital expenses. So the personnel does reflect the 2% increase that Dr. Labasso presented earlier. I still feel like we're in a good spot from a percentage standpoint. We do look at this and monitor it. 76.3% is still very, it is in a good spot. If you get upwards of 80 or higher, sometimes it can be perceived as a little personnel heavy. Potentially, but I think we're still doing fine. Last year, we were right around the same. I looked back, and we were right around 76% also, so hasn't moved much. Okay, I'm going to shift over to Fund 7, unless we have any questions. Want me to on Fund 1. So Fund 7, we anticipate starting the year with $45.8 million roughly. We just budget the new revenue sources, so our local CIF funding is $2.6 million, capital outlay and debt service about $100,000 from the state, and then the PICO airframe and power plant, the last appropriation there for roughly $12.3 million. And we also are having we have the transfer for $350,000 coming in from Fund 3. So all new revenues equates to $15.3 million. Together, the 45 and the 15 gets you to the $61.2 million. Just below that, we show the airframe coming in and also going out, whether we end up expending it all next year or not, just for budget presentation purposes. So you got the 12.3. Facilities planning payroll is routinely charged here to Fund 7, so $644,768 there. And then the we're looking at replacing the sod out at the soccer stadium, and that project would have to be funded from our auxiliary funds because we cannot use state funding or PICO funding for athletics. So that's why we show that as a transfer from Fund 3 above. So the expenditures there are $13.2 million. However, that is certainly not all that we have slated for. As you can see, here's a list of some major projects. Again, some of the larger ones that we have slated for next year. We go over the project list. It's an extensive list. Review it with Dr. Labasso and our senior staff. Prioritize these projects. And this is the list that made it for next year's funding. I will tell you that there's many more behind the scenes that are under threshold, $50,000, $100,000, some smaller projects that are also in the queue for next year if we're able to get to them. So the proposed use of fund balance is where this set of projects would come from, and that's another $19 million. And if all were to hold true and pan out as per the budget, we would end the year at $28.8 million roughly in our fund balance. This is just a different way of presenting the same exact numbers for Fund 7's budget. It's by funding source. So you got local on the left, bond and other state funding, CONDS, which is, again, capital outlay and debt service, and then PICO, public education capital outlay, is the fourth column. But your totals remain the same, as does the proposed use of fund balance group of projects, just cut up a different way. This slide, I realize, is fairly busy. It really is trying to capture the transfers between the different funds. It's footnoted very well at the bottom. I'm sure you've been through your packets and have seen this, and we reviewed it together. An easier way to look at this would be this slide. It really captures what we would like the board to review and approve as part of the budget. As required, the board must approve transfers from Fund 1 to any other fund, and we have you transfer or approve other transfers as well. So taking it from the top, the grant matching institutional support, we're asking for a $400,000 transfer from Fund 1 to Fund 2 to support our grant initiatives. TV station operational funding, $460,000 from Fund 1 to Fund 2. $875,000 for scholarships for our athletes and other students from Fund 3 to Fund 5, which is our scholarship fund coming from our auxiliary fund. Next one down, marketing, hospitality, and tuition reimbursement. We routinely transfer auxiliary funds to back into Fund 1 operating budget. Last year was $710,000. We upped it just a hair to $720,000 this year. And then last but not least is the soccer stadium sod replacement project I mentioned, Fund 3 to Fund 7, to do that project hopefully around the April or May timeframe of next year. Okay. With that, anytime you have a balanced budget, it's a great day to be a Falcon, right? So Lynn brought up the board memo. Thank you. This would, captures Fund 1 and Fund 7, the two primary funds that we need board action on from a budget standpoint for 2026-27.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Before Alan gets up next, I forgot to point out, at your spot, you have the latest Daytona State magazine, and then a few of us, Daytona State people, are in the Greater Daytona Region magazine, so there's a copy of that there for you, too. Forgot to mention that.
based on Marty's presentation, we should all go out and buy lottery tickets, right?
That's right.
Boost that lottery revenue.
Boost that revenue there.
Is it okay?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Of course.
I just want to say, I think with that scope and complexity of the budget and all the different moving parts and pieces and where it's coming from, I think that's an incredible job. Well done. And AZ, the presentation is so clear and easy to understand, and I appreciate getting this, you know, massive packet in the at my desk, but it was all there. And so I think you know, you walk in here and you really just, yeah, it's easy to follow the bouncing ball. So I do think you deserve the trophy, Marty, so thank you.
You make it look easy, and it's not. And the amount of information that you can put in one page, I think no one else in this world can do. So it's very impressive.
Yep.
I think I should probably just sit down after that.
No,
so.
You might get a trophy, too.
So for facilities, this is more of a planning meeting for us. So a few years ago, the board approved a three-year plan to address elevator concerns across all of our campuses. We are actively completing that plan this summer. So I'm hoping to bring back to the board by August all of those completions for the elevators. We have several others over the next several years that need to be upgraded as well. So I stretched this out to a five-year plan to try to spread out some of the expenses so we're not incurring so many expenses. So what we're looking at now is over the next 5 years to be completed by 2031, we'll complete the next round of elevators, which is six. And at the completion of that plan, we'll actually be good up until 2039 to 2050. So you won't hear from me again, hopefully, on elevators for another 9 years after that. So we'll be completely caught up on elevator plans and MUD. So we need a board action to approve a five-year plan of $1.6 million to Coney Elevator. And just a reminder, we'll bring back those individual expenses because they will be over that 195 threshold.
Move approval. Give me a second.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right, so to planning. Each year we bring to you the Capital Improvement Plan, the CIP, which is the board is required to review and approve. This year we're submitting four capital projects as well as four maintenance projects. The state will only take our top two for their list, but however, you never know that when maintenance funding is going to come back, so it doesn't hurt to have extra things on the list. So here we have the top two construction projects, Priority 1, Priority 2. Priority 1 being the Aerospace Technology Avionics Program in New Smyrna, and then Priority 2 is the welding, advanced welding, move to the ATC. So we need board approval to submit these to the state.
Motion
to approve.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Item three is our annual SREF inspection, which is conducted by the state and our insurance agency. So we have completed that inspection just 3 weeks ago. All facilities did pass the inspection. We do have quite a list of deficiencies that we're currently addressing. Most of those are due to the fact that we switched contractors mid-year. And so the contractor, which is Convergent, did not start the new contract inspections until December of 2025. So right now we are still putting in purchase orders for the inspections that they're completing. And we'll complete most of those deficiencies by the end of this summer. But we need approval from the board as that you have reviewed this document.
Motion approved.
Second.
Questions, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
All right, this was probably a pretty large submittal in your packet. This is our five-year survey. It's required by the state. So as you know, we have two components to continue to add programs, do renovations, remodels, or new facilities. One is the CIP, which is the funding. The five-year plant survey gives us approval from the state to actually conduct these renovations, remodels, and construction. I think there was about 80 pages associated with this document. We had a lot of help from the academic side in pulling together the programs that we're going to, or that we think we're going to expand in over the next 5 years. Obviously, things change, so we do have a chance during that 5 years to come back and do a spot survey. So this is the plan. We need board recommendation to submit the plan to the Department of Education.
Motion
to
approve.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
That's it for me.
Great. Thank you.
All right, we have one item from Academic Affairs today, and we are looking for board approval for the upcoming 26-27 year for lab fee recommendations. These are the fees that are reviewed by the end users, the departments annually, and as we have any changes in cost that is directly for materials used by the students, then we can take these and move them up or down as needed. And so we have some decreases, a few increases. The new lab fees are associated with new courses. And so we seek approval from the board for this item.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor? Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Appreciate all the time you do scrubbing those and and with that, Tom, the constituent heads.
Yes. All righty. As Sharice mentioned, Antonio, who's our SGA president, is on summer break, so he's not here today. And so we're going to start with Administrative Counsel, Rachel Dougherty.
Good afternoon. So I'm Rachel Dougherty, Director of the Administrator's Council, and I just wanted to just refresh our purpose statement so Trustee Coleman is aware of what we do at the Admin Council. So we are responsible for all areas relating to development, welfare, and morale of administrative personnel, and to act as a forum to study, discuss, and recommend institutional objectives, policies, and procedures. So that's what we do from director's levels up all the way to vice presidents, and we will meet again in August. So thank you and welcome.
All right, thank you, Rachel. I saw John Penny as co-chair for Career and Professional Employee Council.
I'd like to thank April, my co-chair, for pulling together a summary for us today. The CAPE Council continues to focus on strengthening employee engagement, professional development, and communication across all Daytona State campuses. We are actively seeking additional campus senators to help represent and share updates from all college locations. Expanding participation helps ensure that every campus has a voice and remains connected to the college-wide initiatives. Professional development remains a key priority for the council. We continue to encourage employee participation in professional development opportunities that support skill building, workplace effectiveness, innovation, and lifelong learning. These offerings provide staff with valuable opportunities to enhance their knowledge, explore new technologies, and engage in continuous professional growth. The council is also exploring new employee engagement initiatives, fundraising opportunities, and professional development topics suggested by staff members. Our goal is to foster collaboration, support employee growth, and strengthen connections across the college community. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Dr. Braley is not here today, and Faculty Senate usually doesn't meet in the summertime, so that's probably why she's not here. So you'll get to meet her most likely in August. And that concludes the constituent reports.
Great, thank you. Just well briefly, first off, again, Robbie, welcome. So glad to have you on the board and look forward to your contributions over the coming meetings in years. You know, to the staff, we always comment on the people up there presenting, but make sure your team knows that it's everybody behind them that's making all this happen, and the board greatly appreciates the care and the attention that goes into everything, looking for ways to reduce budgets, looking for new academic degree programs or ways to make our existing ones better, providing good student life experiences, and just, you know, everything that each of you do, good facilities. It all has to come together to do what happens. And, you know, I was thinking back as Marty was giving his presentation, and with the quick help of AI, inflation in the past 16 years has been over 52%. So if you think about that, the things that we were buying 16 years ago cost 52% more than they cost then, and yet we haven't increased tuition a penny. It's a pretty amazing testament that we're able to do it. And, you know, we've talked a couple times today about it being a tough budget year, and, you know, I just want to make sure, you know, on the record that it's reflected that tough budget year really wasn't anything that we did. I mean, it was this notion that we're really pushing affordability, you know, strategically and purposefully, so holding the line on tuition, but also some cost associated with the change in medical insurance that's, you know, a little bit out of our control. So great benefit for our employees. So I'm glad it's happening. I wish there was a little funding to go with it, but it is what it is, and the team rallied together, the college rallied together, and found a way to solve that. So kudos to everyone, and still found a way to increase salaries as a part of that. So appreciate that. It's a great story. And it is summer, so no workshop today. I always miss the workshops. I feel like I wanted to comment on the exciting topic du jour, but instead I'll comment on the summer, and I do hope everybody gets a chance or has had a chance to spend a little time with their family. And you know, it's interesting. We're one of the few industries that has such a cyclic nature where, you know, it's every year there's a new classes coming in, and then you hit graduation, and then you have this little bit of summer where you're getting ready, you know, you're wrapping up the old year and getting audited, and you're getting ready for the new year and planning. And but it is a time to take a break and rest and recharge, and I hope the boss gives everybody a little bit of time to do that. Just I'll end with thanks for all you guys do, and it is always a pleasure coming and being on this board.
I could add, you know, on your tuition analysis too, you can actually add 2% to it.
Yeah, because we cut it.
We were the only college to cut tuition in 2015 by 2%.
So yeah, and, it's an amazing story.
Yeah. And we are getting an extra day in celebration of our 250th. We're going to be given an extra day off on that Thursday prior. So.
Good. Excellent. Great.
Very nice.
Trustee Lloyd.
First of all, Robbie, welcome. So we teased him a little bit and said, you know, why such a light packet of materials? But great meeting to start, because you really get to see right up front the nuts and bolts of the budget. To Marty, I would have given you the wave all the way around. You know, tremendous challenges this year, and none of it, you know, our responsibility. We kind of have to deal with the cards we're dealt, and you did a masterful job. And so, you know, we're going to fight through, hopefully, better years to come. And then finally, this is come here with a little heavy heart, but renewed sense of purpose. My father passed away yesterday morning. And he was a stalwart in this community, in the business community, in civic life. And, you know, he was an original Halley baby. He was born in 1935 at Halifax Hospital with his twin brother. And they were the first cesarean twins born at Halifax Hospital. So as they celebrate their 100th anniversary, that's pretty cool. But his long life of service and gives me, and I think all of us, a message: leave it better than you found it. And our commitment to this community, commitment to Daytona State College, is to leave this better than we found it. So shout out to Dad.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I'm thankful to be here and really excited for what's coming up. Thanks for, you know, everybody graciously bringing me in. I've said it earlier, drinking through a fire hose for the last 5 hours. So, I'm really excited about, you know, the college, what it does for this community and where it's going in the future, and glad to be a part of it. So,
okay, thank you.
Well, I think I gave Marty, another diamond for the trophy earlier. So, but I do appreciate it. And one of the things, welcome, Robbie, for sure. I do want you to know that if there's any, one of the most helpful people in the room is Lynn. And if the best thing you can do is just say yes and answer text messages and email quickly, not like me. Okay?
Don't be like him.
Yeah, don't be like me. Go Falcons.
Bob, I'm so sorry for your loss. And it's people like your dad who really, I think, set the bar for giving back to this community, and definitely someone I think of when I think, when I look up to someone and someone that, you're like, okay, like this is why we do all this. We give back to our community. We leave it better than we found it. We plant the seeds of the trees that the future generations are going to sit under. And so certainly very sad for Volusia County, but what an incredible legacy. What an incredible legacy. And, and I think, Robbie, welcome to the group. We were going to haze you a little bit and start fighting in the meeting just to, but the truth is that this is an amazing board, and it's all under Tom and Randy's leadership, and we're really happy to have you, somebody who's from the area. You went away and you came back, and I know you're deeply, deeply committed. And so we're really lucky to have you, and you're really lucky to be a part of such an incredible institution. And you just so happens to be the best college president in the world, actually. So that works out really good. So welcome to you. And just want to say that this budget is incredible. Marty, the amount of work you put in, I just want to say it does not go unnoticed. So please tell the entire team, it does not go unnoticed. It is thousands of hours of work, and it's very obvious. And when you can put that much information in a single page, I think that's just what blows me away. So thank you, and making it easy to understand. This is that time of year where, it gets a little bit quiet. And, it's right before you start feeling the buzz of the beginning of the year and after the high of graduation. But what a great time to be able to talk about these projects and all the planning for the future. And it's very exciting, a lot of exciting things happening. And I'm frustrated by the lack of some of the funding that we receive. But I will say I'm very excited for the airframe power plant, getting that money for such an important project that is going to be so impactful for our community, the high-paying jobs that it's going to create for people in our community. That's a really big deal, and so I do want to celebrate that, and I don't want to take away from that. That's awesome that we have that money. And go Falcons.
Go Falcons. Great, great point. Well, thanks, everyone, and we'll see you again next time.
That's the meeting is adjourned.